What is happening, Rundown Nation? Welcome back to the College Football Rundown. I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And we have a special guest today. Story, thank you for joining us.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? How's the season going for you guys?
The season's going pretty good. More so for me, not so for Walt at the moment.
What are you talking about?
You both won last week. That's a good
Well, we did. It was a good double win. I like that. But I am winning.
Well, that's good news.
Terrible news. It's on a push too. Let's not get way off base here.
Yeah. That is true. It's more. You didn't lose money on the push, but let's get into week seven here. We got some great games coming up. Probably marquee game here would be the Oregon Washington games and the USC Notre Dame games, as well as the battle for the West and the Big Ten with the Iowa Wisconsin game. Awesome DraftKings again last week. Tight one. Story, you were in the mix on that one. JM Doof pulls it out with the win with 176.96. I finished in second at 175.96, so exactly 1 point behind. And the Story, you finished in third with 175.62. It's been pretty competitive lately, hasn't it, Story?
Yeah, it's definitely been tight. And I think I've come out on top at least once. Maybe twice.
Twice. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been a good league so far. It's been super top heavy, which is great to see. There's a lot of competition in there, but it's really anybody's game at this point, right? You're taking the top eight scores.
Top eight. So official rankings come out next week. Super excited about that. But a little bit more about JM Doof's roster there. He went with triple running back Devin Neal from Kansas, who we talked about last week, RJ Harvey from UCF, and Jonathan Brooks, who we have been talking about, been lighting it up since that Alabama game that we, he must have been listening to the Rundown, Wall, because we talked about how Alabama and Texas didn't have a run game. And ever since then, he's destroyed it. And Texas has been pounded on the ground. Unfortunately, they lost last week, but that was a total of 19,100 points or dollars for 79 points. For a 240 per point total on those three running backs. That is awesome. Way to go, JM Doof. Again, official rankings come out next week. This week will be the DraftKings 12-game main slate. Wall had some interesting games last week. Georgia, I know we talked about, me and you last week talked about top 10s, where we want everybody to, or at least the top four. Is Georgia your number one for sure?
Yeah, there's no question about it. And we said last week, I mean, this week, after watching last week's games, only emphasizes that fact even more. So, absolutely.
Yeah, take down the undefeated Kentucky 51-13. Really showed them who's boss on that one. Battle at the Red River Rivalry. I said it first this time. Did it correctly. Thank you very much. Let's take note of that. Oklahoma does beat Texas 34-30. Story, did you get to check out that game at all?
It was not as high scoring as I thought. I know the over still came in. I believe it was 62.5, and they did definitely cover that at 34-30. But a lot of that was in the second half, and a lot of that was just the two touchdowns that were scored back-to-back at the end. We were watching that game and just watching Texas fall back into a prevent defense and letting Oklahoma carve them up all across the field to score that game-winning touchdown. It was super frustrating because the defense had been playing so well up to that point. So we had kind of talked about, or you guys talked about it last week. Wall said that he was not surprised. I was a little surprised that Oklahoma beat Texas, but when you play scared and you play not to lose, more often than not, it's going to come back to bite you. And that's what happened here.
All right. Let's talk about playing not to lose and playing scared. Georgia Tech takes down Miami. But it shouldn't have been that case, correct, Story? I mean, Georgia Tech won 23-20. The end of that game was just a shit show.
I mean, I think this was the talk of the nation on Sunday, was just exactly the decision by Cristobal to not kneel the ball when they had the game in hand, basically.
The game was over.
So the bizarre thing is he has done this before at a different program. So Miami does not kneel. The running back fumbles. And recovered by Georgia Tech. 32 seconds later, they score the go-ahead touchdown, and that's where it ends. Georgia Tech beats Miami. And I think we're going to touch on this later in the podcast, but coaches that are on the hot seat. And Cristobal probably shot up a lot of players' people's boards, but I'm going to tell you why I don't think he's actually going to get fired later on.
All right. USC, Arizona goes to double overtime. USC wins 43-41. USC just hasn't figured out that defense yet, Wall.
No, you throw it to me for the game I didn't watch, Woj. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch this football game. It wasn't that exciting to me. before it started. Obviously, after the fact, what an exciting football game. But still, you're talking about Arizona, and we're talking about a football team, I believe, that's ranked number 10 in the nation, and they just squeak by, you know, an Arizona program. Give me a break. We get to see the Pac-12 this week for real, and I'm excited about that.
All right. Well, let's get into that. It's the big game right off the bat at 2:30 p.m. on ABC. We got number 8, Oregon, at number 7, Washington. Battle for the Pac-12 here, boys. I mean, this one's going to be exciting. As far as DraftKings goes, this one's tough. The whole week is tough for me. I've been scanning everything, and I still can't really pinpoint really awesome key plays. I have a couple we'll get to, but this one, Washington, surprisingly, from different from years past, is the fourth worst in passing yards per game in the slate. So I'd like to key in a little bit on the Oregon pass game, but this one's just tough to get into just because everybody is just so highly salaried. It's just, I get it. It's a high over under game. It's Oregon versus Washington, but is it really going to get to that level of score here, Story or Wall? One of you key in on here, because I feel like this might be tighter than some people think.
Well, I certainly think that this is going to be a closely fought game. I mean, I bet a lot of people are going to be taking the over. And you look at these salaries on DraftKings. Yeah, they're very expensive. Bo Nix at 10,000, Thompson at 8,000, right? It's not inexpensive, to say the least. Bucky Irving at 7,500, Troy Franklin of Oregon at 8,100. So there's no shortage of high value playmakers here. And again, I'm over on sportsbettingintel.com. I'm looking at the over under. I'm looking at the spread here. The over under is 67.5. You can get over 67.5 at minus 104. So just slightly shaded to the over a little, or to the under a little bit. And then 2.5 is the spread. Washington is favored in this. So 67.5 is a lot. And I think it's going to be, I think a lot of this is going to be at the line of scrimmage. I've got a feeling that both of these teams are going to try to slow this game down. I do think that these are the two best teams in the Pac-12. I think it's going to be back and forth affair. Could be the last team with the ball, like we've seen so many in these high scoring games. I'm going to lean Washington at home. Penix Jr. getting his team in range. And it probably comes down to a field goal, if you ask me. I think this is a 3-point game, and I'm going with Washington in this one.
Ooh. He thinks it's a 3-point game. Hey, well said, sir, considering the line is at 3. I love how the sports betting intel man comes over here and tells us he thinks it's going to be a 3-point game. I wouldn't disagree, though. You know, if you have to guess what the score is going to be, what the spread is, or what the final margin is going to be, go with the people that do it for a living and set those lines at 3. Oregon plus 3. I was actually looking to take Oregon, potentially the Ducks, as my pick'em today. Not to throw out one of the options, but I will tell you, I'm not going to take him. It scares me a little bit against Washington. Penix is just outstanding. I mean, Bo Nix on his side is also outstanding. These two can really knock the other one out of the Heisman race. So it's kind of a key, interesting matchup there, as in they control their own destiny if they can outshine their competition. I'm excited to look forward to that part of it, but I think I'd actually go the other way in this one. I think I'd just take the points, take the dog, even though they're at, you know, Husky Stadium. Washington is home. I would take the Ducks, and probably both the spread and money line split it a little bit across both.
Yeah.
You see that Penix moved to be the current Heisman odds favorite now, plus 200. He surpassed Caleb Williams after this weekend.
I did not see that. I know they were very close, though. So my guess is they're still very close in those odds as far as I think it was the top three chalk. No.
But yeah, 225 to 250 for Caleb Williams. Yeah. So they're right there. I think it's either guy's race at this point.
There you go. Well, Bo Nix can put a stamp in that if he outshines him in this game. So that, like I mentioned, that's one of the things I'm kind of interested to watch in this game.
Yeah. As far as like we talked about with DraftKings here, it's tough to really key it, but I do want to key in on that Oregon pass attack just a little bit much more because of the lack of the secondary presence, at least in this slate from Washington. And I Troy Flankren, I believe he is the number one wide receiver on the slate. I could be wrong. He's at 8,100 right now, which is expensive for a wide receiver. He is out, however, out fantasy pointing Bo Nix, who's at 10,000. You have on the other side Penix, which is at 10,500. But Troy Flankren has gone over 100 yards in every single game that he's played the entire game. He didn't go in Hawaii game. He only had 83 yards. But they had that game well in hand. But every other game, he's had 100 yards. He did also score in the Hawaii game because he didn't play the whole time. He's got 7 touchdowns in the season. 2 in every game that he's really been in the whole time, except for Texas Tech. So he's one of those guys that I think you got to have him. I mean, 30 points every single game, 8,100. I mean, that's a lot of points to get. But if they're going to do something against Washington, I think he's the guy to really key in on this matchup. At 8,100, it's pricey, but every now and then you need to pay up for a wide receiver that you know is going to do something. Boys, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to Kansas, Oklahoma State. We're going to the Big 12, 2:30 p.m. Fox FS1. I know you guys probably don't want to hear too much about this game, but I'm excited to talk about this game a little bit. Story?
I'm confused why you put this one on here a little bit. Well, we always, before, especially when we have a guest, we like to, you know, put out what games we might be talking about and I might not be talking about. I saw this one on the slate, well, your slate anyways, and I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? We got an over-under of 55.5, kind of my default there when I'm like, well, why is Woj talking about this one? You'd expect maybe that over-under total points at 70. Not necessarily the case, 55.5. We do have a close game, so maybe you're thinking overtime for some of your daily fantasy players over there. We got Oklahoma State +3. Kansas obviously only giving 3, minus 155 on the money line.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about this game as well. It's, you know, Oklahoma State is unranked. I think Mike Gundy's an idiot. And so I'm not sure why this is not here.
We haven't gotten that segment yet.
Just to get under my skin, this is Kansas all day long. Like, give me Kansas. I don't care what the spread is. I know it's 3, but Oklahoma State is a trash football team. Yeah, they had a promising week last week, but we look at their schedule. They put up 7 points against South Alabama, and they lost to Iowa State. So I have no faith in Gundy to get his team ready for this game. Kansas has way too much firepower. This is a 34-17 game. I'm not sure that the over comes in, but you know, the Kansas Jayhawks, like, just a much better team. Third in the Big 12 in interceptions, first in sacks. Alan Bowman's a great quarterback, able to take care of the football. I personal feelings aside, I think Oklahoma State gets rolled.
All right. Jalen Daniels is not going to play this game, likely doubtful. So Jason Bean gets the touch again. So I want to key in on running backs again. We talked about Devin Neal last week. He did us good. I think they do it again. Oklahoma State's given up the third most, yards on the ground per game in the slate at 153. So I'm going to take Devin Neal again at 6,700. On the other side of that, you have Oklahoma State's running back, which is Allie Gordon, who is their offense at 6,200. So he's been on fire the last couple of games. I'd like to give him a try in a double stack again in another Kansas game. How about that? Another running back double in a Kansas game. But yeah, I honestly, I don't think Bean's that good. So this could be closer than what people did. If Jalen Daniels is the quarterback, 100% take Kansas. No problems, no questions asked. But I don't know. I'd like to see it. But that's the reason I picked this game. I like the two running backs, boys.
I'm just writing this down, Woj, so I can do this double running back stack again and swing past you in the DraftKings league.
Yeah, okay. I don't know about slinging. Let's not get carried away. But, well, we got a special one coming up here. We got the battle for the Big Ten West. Iowa at Wisconsin, 3 p.m. on Fox.
I love it, Woj. I mean, you were happy I won the pick'em last week, were you not?
I mean, yes, 100%. Yes, I would say so.
So you were 100% cheering for me last week, correct?
I was, yes.
And
I'm always cheering for you. I'm always cheering for
you. Yeah, bologna sausage. You're praying to whatever God it is you pray over there that I lose every week so you have a chance. But I was real excited about Iowa last week. Obviously, it means a lot over here at the Wall household. I got to shove it in the wife's face a little bit. I was real happy about that. But we get another one real quick here, Woj. We're battling for the Heartland Trophy. We, as Hawkeye fans, know it. Unfortunately, we are there in Wisconsin, which is not going to help the cause. Always exciting to see the jump around, though, that they do there in the third quarter. But it doesn't beat the Wave, right, Woj? The Wave beats everything there over at Kinnick. But still, they got their own tradition. We got ours. In this football game, we're not getting any respect. I mean, you can get 10 points on the Hawkeyes. Money line, +285. You put 100 down on them, you're getting $285 back in your pocket. And then the thing that I'm so excited to hear what Mr. Hardways over there has to say about this one, because we got a total points, and this is the full game. Yes, this is not first half. A total points in this game of 34.5.
Yeah, this game opened at 36.5 and has gone down to 34.5. I'm looking at the line movement here on Sports Betting Intel, and I can't say that I'm surprised. I wouldn't say that the Iowa quarterback had much success last week, so probably a lot of relying on the ground game. And I think the same can be said for Wisconsin and them relying on their ground game quite a bit with Braylon Allen there. So I'm going to defer to Woj. Like, you're the one that's got to sleep with the Wisconsin fan with one eye open. Woj, what are your thoughts on this game?
So Wall had the Iowa Purdue. Last week I got the Iowa Wisconsin. This week, she won't be home until the end of the game, so at least I got that going for me, so I can go, you know, get ready if we're winning, or I can just pretend I didn't watch the game if we're losing. But here's the thing: our quarterback is terrible. Deacon Hill has one throwing speed, and it's very fast, and it's a bullet. And most of the guys can't even catch it. He didn't complete a pass in their win last week to a wide receiver on the team. Only one wide receiver got points, DraftKings points or DFS points, at 0.4 points for one rushing play on a sweep. That would be Seth Anderson. The thing about this is he completed 28% of his passes. All of his passes went to the tight end Eric All. He's at 4,800. Now, are you crazy for picking a player in this game, especially for that player being in Iowa? Probably. But if you were going to pick anybody, theoretically, Eric All is your guy. He's been scoring points. He scored 20 points last week, despite his quarterback throwing a 28.6% completion rating. Wisconsin is the worst in this, or third worst in the slate in passing yards per game, excuse me, at 248.2 yards per game. So they give up yards in the air. Again, our quarterback needs to throw the ball productively to be able to eat at that, but Eric All is the guy to do that. They give up the second most in the Big Ten to tight ends. So that's another key stat too. Wisconsin struggles against those off matchups or the uneven matchups. So Eric All could have a big day here. And I think he's going to need to if Iowa ends up having to win this game. And we're probably going to need some help from the special teams getting a touchdown.
So game one, I wrote down Troy Franklin. Game two, I wrote down Devin Neal and Ollie Gordon. And then game three, I wrote down Eric All. And then I immediately crossed it off.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I don't blame
I'm not
you
putting
at all.
Somebody in my lineup in a game that has a 34.5 over under, even though he's at 4,300, actually 4,300. If you want to save salary elsewhere, I think you could look at that Oregon game and go with somebody like Trayshawn Holton, for example, who's at 4,600. So I encourage people to find value elsewhere on the slate. Pretend this game doesn't exist if you are outside of the states of Wisconsin or Iowa.
All right, maybe I'll have to put Eric All in my lineup as something for next week. It'll be a separator. No one will pick him. I will have him the only one. He'll go for another 25 points, and I'll end up winning. So we'll talk about that again next week. But we're going to move on. Probably the big game of the night here. We got number 10, USC, at number 21, Notre Dame, 6:30 p.m., NBC and Peacock. I'm not sure why Peacock picked that game up, but NBC is going to be the primary channel for that one, Wall.
Well, you could assume one of them owns the other. Well, that's what I'm going to go with on that. USC, I mean, a good football team, no defense, no surprise there. Who are we telling anything to that watches college football? Although it was funny, Lincoln Riley, I don't know if anybody caught it, he's mentioning this week how improved his defense is this year compared to last year. And I don't know how you read that without chuckling at least. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic that a head coach would say that and just show that he doesn't know anything about football, I guess, when I respected him before that comment too. But Mr. Hardways and I were talking earlier in the week, and we were talking about the most surprising games of last week. I did mention that to me, there were a couple of surprising games. We talked about Georgia Tech already taking Miami down straight up. Some people were surprised about that Alabama win, not myself. Some people were surprised about that Oklahoma win, not myself. But the one that did surprise me was Louisville taking down Notre Dame. So now they're coming off a loss. You got to spread Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, -2.5. They are the favorites against this undefeated, just lights out offense, USC. But it goes to show you how bad that USC defense is. You want the money line on USC, you're getting money back in your pocket, plus 125. We do have a higher over under, but for as many points as USC scores, the total's at 59, so it'd be interesting to see what Mr. Hardways has to say about this one.
Yeah, there could be – you could make a case that USC was just kind of going through the motions in their easy schedule earlier this year, in particular last week. It was – I think that was a very – I didn't get a chance to watch that game, unfortunately. It was a very surprising result to see the final score there. I thought, well, at USC, it almost feels like they're just letting teams score so they can get their offense back on the field, showcase Caleb Williams, make his Heisman campaign, and still beat teams. It's going to be a much, much different ball game when they come to South Bend and they have to face the Irish defense, which is certainly the toughest that they'll face to date. 20th in EPA per pass and 15th in defensive success rate. It's going to give Caleb Williams trouble. We saw how he struggled last week against the pass. He's been sacked slightly above average rate this year. And I just think Notre Dame's a better team. Despite the schedule, I think that they certainly will overcome this USC defense, quote unquote, air quotes there. And they're going to get back on the horse here and get a nice win over a ranked opponent versus USC. So money line, yeah, okay. Let's look at the game page here on Sports Betting Intel. Minus 139 is the best line. That's over on Bet Rivers. But I'll take the spread there at -2.5 at -112 also on Bet Rivers.
Yeah, this is a battle of the Notre Dame defense, essentially. I mean, you have a team that's played 7 games. Keep this in mind. They've played 7. Most have played 5-4. Some have played 6. They are 5th in the nation against quarterback fantasy points with only 13.1. Caleb Williams getting 13.1 would be a real bad day and would also mean a USC loss. Easily. So if they can keep their defense in check against a USC team that likes to give up points and their only defense is scoring points, I think Notre Dame's got a really good shot here, especially being at home at night, big piped up game. So really looking forward to this. Hopefully their offense works a little bit better than they did against Ohio State, which I think they will. It's a different USC's defense has been god awful. So far this year. So I'm looking for Notre Dame to do some work here, guys.
Well, I don't blame you. I'm going to be planted in front of the TV for this one. It should be an exciting game.
Yeah, it will be a good game. And one thing I want to mention about this game specifically, and since we have Hardways on here, let's take the time to promote sportsbettingintel.com, our partners over there. I'm on the sportsbettingintel.com game board right now. One feature I like over there for maybe some of you listeners that aren't big into betting, just dabble in it. There's this feature that lets you just put in your bet size and it'll show you according to the line with your bet size, how much money you'll win on each book. For example, I just put in $200 bet to win. I'm looking at the Notre Dame bet right now. +144 comes back in your pocket on Bet Rivers, +134 on FanDuel, +138 on Caesars, +138 on Bet MGM. So you're getting $10 more by just going to that best book of Bet Rivers. And, you know, that's not nothing. That's 7%. That's double the juice that you're covering there just by picking the right line. And I always like to use sportsbettingintel.com, their game boards, to help me figure that out.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, Wal. And don't forget to mention that we do a weekly NCAA football rundown. I'm not trying to steal your guys' thunder here, but kind of a roundtable discussing. We're using the tools over at SBI, and we're actually doing a video. So as we go through, we've got a few people from the team that we're going through and actually making our bets just by looking through what we have going on at Sports Betting Intel. So that's over. We do both at our podcast and it's a YouTube video. So check it out over on our YouTube page on Thursday nights.
Just a couple other picks, boys, for DraftKings. Garbage time running back from Georgia. You're looking at some Georgia backups if you need some help and some money there. They're playing Vandy. Vandy has a terrible defense. And then you're looking at Cam Rising in his return, possibly. If he does, Cal has one of the worst pass defenses in college football and in the slate. So I would key in on that. Nate Johnson not fully believing in him, so I wouldn't quite go with him if Cam Rising wasn't in, especially what his salary is. So if Cam Rising's back, I think I go with him.
Is he back? Do we know if he's back?
We do not know. Still doubtful. There was doubt that last week. Who knows? He's supposed to be back by now, but yeah, they're I don't know. We'll see, I guess, coming closer to game day.
I don't know why they wouldn't just redshirt him at this point. It feels like a lost season for Utah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Story, I'm putting the pressure on you here now. We need hot takes and we need hot seats here. Who's the hottest seat in college football right now?
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that Cristobal should be on the hot seat, and yes, with that idiot, if I was the athletic director, I would have fired him on the spot. But you don't get to make those choices when he is owed I think I looked at it like $68 million is what he they would have to buy out his contract at. So he signed a 10-year, $80 million deal. And yeah, there's no way that Miami can afford to buy him out. So while it was the dumbest thing that I've ever seen and an even stupider response to it to the media, he's not going anywhere. Cristobal is not really in the hot seat. I did look up the odds for coaches to get fired, and he is at plus 2,200. But there's a coach here that is right on the cusp of getting fired, and that's probably Danny Gonzalez from New Mexico. And correct me if I'm wrong, but New Mexico as a program is okay. Like, it's not, they're not bad. They don't have big, not a whole lot of donors or boosters, whatever you call it. But the, since 2020, New Mexico was 9-27, 2-3 to start this year. This year, they've had a couple of tough games, but this one feels like it's more a matter of when versus a matter of if. And it's just, he hasn't performed. And when you're that far below 500, I don't see how you stick around, especially if you're not getting paid a ton of money to go out. So that's one that seems obvious. Now, one that is a little farther down the list, but one that I've been calling for a while now, is Jimbo Fisher over at Texas A&M.
Oh, God.
The guy should be gone. And I don't know why it hasn't happened already. If things take a turn, the I guess the big thing was they'd have to pay him a ton to make him go away. It probably a lot for Texas A&M to swallow. 4-2 this year, and they did have – they got a couple of tough games coming up on the schedule. It just, this program felt like they had a lot behind it, a lot coming in when he was hired, and a lot of high expectations, and they have yet to actually make an impact in the SEC. They've never been in the playoff, they've never been in playoff conversation. They've never really made a threat at the SEC. So to me, he should be gone. And I think he's on the hot seat in and of itself. He's the fourth highest odds to get fired now at plus 800. And a lot of that, again, it's not a terrible record, but a lot of that has to do with the expectations for the program and the fact that he truly hasn't lived up to it.
All right. I want one rant from you on a coach that you think should be fired other than those guys that hasn't been fired yet. I can kind of guess the team, but I want you to go after it, Story.
Well, it's Billy Napier. By far, it's Billy Napier. Is that who you had on your list, Walsh?
I was on the list. It wasn't the number one, but I like that. I like that.
Okay. Yeah. 10-9. And this is a program that should be the class of the SEC East. And they're just not. You've got a conference record of 5-6. So he's below 500. The nice win over Tennessee in mid-September. And then 2 weeks later, they lost to Kentucky by double digits, who just got stomped by Georgia. So to me, it feels like he's probably going to get another year, but it shouldn't get that far. They got a really good recruiting class. You got to give him credit on that. But when it comes to actually putting a product on the field, he has not made – and I know that Wall will probably disagree with me on this, but I don't think that they're anything – a decent team at all. And that starts with the coaching. So Napier, I think he should be gone, even though he's not on anybody's – he's probably on the list somewhere, but I think he should be out.
I think Brian Ferentz should go. I don't know if assistants are on those lists or not, but yeah.
Well, that's my thoughts. I didn't want to mention anything when it came to Iowa because I didn't know how deep the waters run here, and I'd like to be invited back on at some point.
You know how deep the waters run, son. That's why you said nothing.
All right, Wall. We both had wins last week. You had Iowa -2. I had LSU -5.5. Again, one on the back door there, which was nice. With the interception for a touchdown. That's great. Now, the one time LSU actually intercepts and scores points from their defense, it's awesome. This week, who are you taking, Wall?
I'm getting absolutely tired of you doing that crap, Woj. It's really
it's pretty crazy. I've got a talent for it.
It's absolutely insane. I mean, you should normally this time of the season, you should be like 1-5 or 2-4 if you're having a great season, but you're sitting at 4-2. So putting a lot of pressure on me over here. But I'm gonna go all American in this one, baby. I'm gonna go Army +4.5. You know, I like to bet the service academies. Have yet to do it this year, but I think they play a good football game against Troy. I'm looking at the best line now here. SportsBettingIntel.com is showing me over there. Let's see. Actually, I got a couple different places I can bet it. It looks like Points Bet. Well, I can't bet it there, but Caesars Sportsbook, BetMGM, all have it at that 4.5 number. So let's go Army. Let's go USA.
America. All right. Moving on to my pick. I'm taking Georgia State -1.5. It's a Marshall team that they're playing that just went into an awful end to a game that they should have won. Their defense has let people score 80 some points in the last couple weeks. Georgia State struggled last week with the team playing Army, by the way. Troy only scored 7 points. So I guess that's more power to Wall's pick, I guess. No, or I'm not quite even sure. But nevertheless, I think Georgia State is just a better team overall. I might even tease that up a little bit more. But I'm going to get it at 1.5 in the Wojan Wall pick him here at -110 on MGM. So I'm taking Georgia State, but we always have one extra pick, and that is with our guest speakers for the week. Story, who are you taking this week?
Yes, sir. I went back and forth on this one a little bit. I wanted to look at that Oregon game, give the people a big game here. So I think I got one in the UK-Mizzou game, though. So let's go over to Missouri and Kentucky. And I like the over in this one. Surprise, surprise. Over 51.5, looking at the game page over on Sports Betting Intel. You can get that at -107. On Bet Rivers, so that's the best line, over 51.5. And a lot of this just comes down to how strong these offenses have been. No argument that Missouri has a very good run defense, but they're susceptible to the pass. And so it's going to be a little more challenging for Kentucky to move the ball. But I just pulled up the props page, the NCAA player props page on Sports Betting Intel to see, Ray Davis to score a touchdown, -230. So they certainly think that he can get it done, if it's not on the ground, then in the passing game. And Luther Burden, another, has come to his own as a truly a difference-making playmaker, pass catcher. So I think this is shaping up to be a points-filled affair, and at 51.5, I'll take the over in this game.
I actually really like that pick, Kentucky coming off of that disappointing loss, 51-13 against Georgia last week, but has played pretty well throughout the season. So Missouri definitely has been playing well as well. So not a bad pick. I like that. Let's go, Wall. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm 4-2 on the season. You know, on the totals, they're going over. Kentucky is, so I'm not sure if Mr. Hardways was looking at that, but you know, the market has been a little under on what they've been scoring, and they've been doing a lot of the scoring other than when they came up against that Georgia football team. That was quite the opposite. But I don't mind that pick. I mean, it's probably not the thing that would stand out to me, but I'm not a big totals guy. You know, Mr. Hardways there is.
All right.
Well,
at least
one way.
There you go. Over.
Mr. Story / Mr. Hardways, thank you for joining us for your hot takes and hot seats and for the rest of the games and your insights into this week of week 7 in college football.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. Be sure to check out sportsbettingintel.com and look forward to coming back on later this year. Let's make some money this weekend.
Well, I am Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.